This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Bill Doucette. Bill is the head of federal sales for the United States Postal Service. Bill, it's great to have you on the show.
Hello, Roger. How you doing? And thanks for having me in with you today.
Well, and today we're going to talk about, you know, sort of, I guess, the Postal Service's growing role in the federal marketplace and what you guys provide to federal customer agencies. But first, just to get a little bit of background, how long have you been with the Postal Service?
My background runs about the last 6.5 years with the Postal Service. Most executives have been there quite a few more years than that. I'm kind of late to the party, but I had a long career in a telecom business with AT&T and British Telecom. Went over to the energy sector, worked through PG&E and Pennzoil, and did some consulting work, a bunch of other things. But they're all in changing marketplaces, much like the marketplace we work in today.
Yeah, it's that's an interesting background. And what sort of attracted you to come to the Postal Service?
Well, like everybody else, you know, you come to the Postal Service for many reasons. I came for personal reasons. I was late in my career, and I wanted something that was relatively predictable. Went through the telecom wars and the energy wars, and this looked predictable. Not safe and certain, but
right.
Predictable.
Right. Well, you know, one of the interesting things I know you're heading up is that the Postal Service has embarked on a concerted campaign to partner more closely with federal agencies. And can you tell us a little bit what's behind that campaign?
Absolutely. It's really driven by need. As you know, the Postal Service is a quasi-government agency, and we live on our own revenues that we get through our services. And frankly, those revenues and our volumes have been dropping. So what we were dedicated to do is to grow those revenues through sales. We built a commercial sales organization. And through some efforts of folks like Charlie Vega, who is on our staff, we were able to build a federal campaign looking at the federal government primarily to do two things, really. One is drive postal revenues north through a sector that we did not participate in at all. And then secondarily, provide top-notch service to the federal government so we could drive additional satisfaction. Happier customers continue to buy from us. We grow more revenues.
So in terms of that campaign, what types of things are you doing that are sort of different in the marketplace that you're able to do that others do not?
Well, what's pretty exciting about what we have to offer in the shipping side of the business is we can offer some very straightforward pricing. It's pretty much what you see is what you get. For example, on the shipping side, when you ship with some of our competitors, there's a myriad of surcharges. So the price you pay is not necessarily your true cost, because at the end of the day, they're trued up. And with the Postal Service, the price you see is the price you pay. So bringing real transparency to the process, we think, is very good. And the other thing is the government's committed to transparency. Mail's a great way to go down that point. It's a printed piece of communications. We can put it right on the kitchen table of every American household, so that's pretty different from any of our competitors, as a matter of fact. The other thing is providing value. I already touched on that with the surcharge issue, but we also work in the area of sustainability. We have cradle-to-cradle certified packaging material that we provide at no additional cost. So that helps our customers when they're working to drive sustainability through their business. And last is security. Everyone in the government is concerned with security. We are the most trusted federal agency year after year in the Ponemon Institute studies. But also what's interesting is the mailbox, the ultimate destination of what we deliver, is protected by federal law and protected by the federal investigative services. So we are in pretty good stead there.
Yeah, well, you can bring to the table lots of things that I guess others do not. But one of the interesting things as a former GSA person, myself, former government employee, is that I note that's really interesting is that you all have a GSA schedules contract.
Yes.
You know, so how did that come about, and you know, why did you decide to get one?
Okay, well, what's pretty interesting is to engage with the government on a broad basis, because we are, although we are a quasi-government agency, we're still bringing services on a competitive playing field. We needed to have a platform to do that, to bring authorized services to the government, and we use the GSA contract as our core platform. So they can get essentially most favored nation pricing, if you will, so we can give special pricing across the government. So that really helped us put forward our offerings in a structured format on that GSA platform across all departments of the government.
And how is that contract going for you?
Actually, it's going pretty well. A couple of things we look at, of course, is revenue growth. And several years ago, we were at zero. And we have made, I guess it's safe to say, some aggressive targets for ourselves that we've satisfied year after year after year. So from a Postal Service standpoint, we've done very well. But we have a long way to go because the market is very large.
Yeah, I think one of the things that folks would be interested in hearing about is when you use this term quasi government agency when you describe the Postal Service. What does that mean?
Well, I guess at the end of the day, we can narrow it down to this. Government agencies in general are supported by the taxpayer and are funded through the federal budget. The Postal Service, on the other hand, funds itself. There's no taxpayer dollars involved at all. We sell our services, things like postage, which many consumers are, you know, aware of, but also package services, which many of our commercial side is aware of. And we generate $65 billion a year in revenue, and that is what sustains the Postal Service. So we are a no-cost government agency, if you will, which puts us in that quasi-government realm.
Right. Well, that sort of appeals to me as someone who worked at GSA. GSA is, you know, doesn't get an, just like the Postal Service, doesn't get an appropriation. Its customers are not just, it are just the, you know, the other federal agencies in a certain sense, and other federal agencies pay GSA, you know, for the services GSA provides through its contract vehicle. So it's somewhat similar. So I do understand that model, and it's a model that appeals to me. In terms of your schedule contract and where you're headed, I understand you are going to the GSA Expo this year, which is down in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. It's the week of May 14th through the 16th. I understand you're going to be doing some presentations there. Is that your first foray into the Expo?
Actually, we've been involved with the Expo before, but this will be our second appearance, or our third appearance, as a matter of fact. And we're very excited. We're going to have a show of force there, and we're going to try to get part of it is really trying to get our message across to the various people attending the Expo across the government that we are here, we're here to stay, and we have a very viable and valuable offering. So we're very excited to be participating.
Right. And so can you talk a little bit about some of the specific offerings that you guys are promoting?
Absolutely. On the shipping side, for example, we have Express Mail. That's our overnight offering, very much like our competitors, and it is delivered through the postal network. The next piece is Priority Mail Services. That is our 1 to 3 day service. We usually hit about 90% of the country or 95% in 2 days. But not only do we have that where we can have rates that tie back to how much it weighs and where is it going, but we have the ultimate convenience of flat rate boxes. We also have some special half pound rates and the potential giving volumes for queue pricing based on the actual size, not destination, not volume. So it's some very exciting offerings. We do have some lower cost, slower shipping offerings like parcel post, bound printed matter, or media mail, depending on the content. But that's usually pretty attractive. The key, though, to our services on the shipping side of the house is there are no surcharges or accessorial fees. They're straight up. The price you see is the price you pay. And our competitors, of course, at the end of the day, do true up after the fact the variety of surcharges, which can run anywhere from as much as 30 to 50% on top of that regular price. So it's pretty attractive.
Well, hey, Bill, we do have to take a break, but when we return, we'll be talking more with Bill Doucette, the head of federal sales for the United States Postal Service, and we'll be talking more about what Postal Service offerings, where you're going. I'd be interested in talking about the sustainability efforts a little bit more. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. While many people welcome the change from winter to spring, there are others who are less enthusiastic.
Probably 20% have some kind of seasonal allergy.
An asthma and allergy specialist, Mayo Clinic Dr. James Lee, says now is the time of year to be proactive. Check with your physician. Discuss the medications you're using, especially if you had troubles the previous year. Also,
when spring comes, it's beautiful weather. But what I tell my patients is, you know, in the spring, if someone has spring allergies, if they're opening the windows and they get that nice fresh spring breeze into the home, they're probably getting all the clouds of pollen into the home as well.
As much as possible, Dr. Lee advises keeping the doors and windows closed, and running a ventilation system can also help quite a bit. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
Airmen, we're on our way.
At EADS North America, we help our country respond to emergencies and natural disasters.
We see you. We're coming in.
From coordinating communications to medevac and emergency response, we provide the mission-critical systems our country demands. Every day, we support homeland security and defense missions here at home and around the globe.
Patient secure. ETA 10 minutes.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Soon, this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Here at Best Buy, we have expanded our selection of HD Radio car stereo receivers. New HD Radio car stereos are in store and offer you the best in digital entertainment and information. More music from local HD2, HD3 radio stations, iPhone, iPod control, digital traffic, iTunes tagging, and more. Best Buy has the leading brands, Alpine, Pioneer, Kenwood, JVC. Lots to choose from, with prices as low as $120. Here at Best Buy, we recommend HD Radio technology.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Attention civilian employees of the intelligence community and the Departments of Defense and State. You could be eligible for affordable term life insurance from GEBA, the Government Employees Benefit Association, with coverage issued by Prudential. Learn more about this important benefit for government employees at GEBA.com/term life. That's GEBA.com/term life. Group term life coverage for GEBA is issued by the Prudential Insurance Company of America, 751 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, 07102. Contract series 83500.
Registration is now open for the all-new ACT-IAC Management of Change Conference, featuring interactive sessions around cloud, mobility, and security in a future technology expo June 3rd through 5th at the Hyatt Regency, Cambridge, Maryland. This government industry training forum is hosted by the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Register and learn more at actgov.org/managementofchange. That's actgov.org/management of change.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Bill Doucette. Bill is the head of federal sales for the United States Postal Service. And Bill, when we took our first break, we were about to talk about a little bit about sustainability and how green the United States Postal Service actually is. And with that, I'll turn over to you. I understand you guys have a recycling program that's quite unique, quite interesting.
Yeah, we're actually very excited about it. It's about to be launched in a very big way. We'll be talking more about it at the GSA Expo, and we actually have a workshop on it down there. But we normally find business partners that can bring value to the federal government. We've found a business partner where we will enable any site in the federal community to download a shipping label, put it onto a package, and send it in for recycle. And the beauty of that is they'll be able to track whatever they return in terms of tonnage. So under Executive Order 13514, they can actually track their results and the contribution they make to ensuring that they're recycling materials. It's extremely exciting to us because it is something very unique to offer our government customers. And none of our competitors are bringing this type of program, especially with the tracking on the tonnage to be able to say what that is. But that's kind of like the tip of the iceberg for what we're doing for being green. We're one of the most fuel-efficient fleets in this business. We don't drive to every house, stop, leave the motor running, for example, and run up to the house, deliver the mail, come back, and drive. We stop the truck, shut it off, and we do a loop around the neighborhood to make sure that, you know, we keep our costs down. Energy is a huge piece of our expense overhead, so we manage it very carefully. The other thing we have is we provide shipping material that is cradle-to-cradle certified to be recyclable. The glue, the ink, the package, completely recyclable, starts as a recycled product, ends as a recycled product, and that we provide at no additional cost. So we're very committed to green.
Particularly that recycling program is, I had never heard of anything quite like that, the ability to stick a label on the package, send it in, and you can track it on behalf of your customers. That's a great innovation and something I know, you know, with that executive order and this, you know, and the executive branch big focus on recycling and green, sounds like a great program. And my understanding, how much does that cost?
Actually, the charge to our federal customers is zero. And that's because we've been able to build a relationship with a business partner that has a business case built around encourage the volume to come in the door. And the best way to do that is to have no charge to ship that. It's free. Whether it's a toner cartridge, an electronic device, it could be almost anything that can be recyclable. Right. Send it back. We'll take it. No charge to our customers in the federal government.
Well, so they must be, they're obviously recycling that and turning it back into, you know, how they make money off it, right?
Yes, and that's how we get paid is, you know, as they process the materials themselves, and there is value in these recycled products, some of which there is value, some of which there is not, but they can derive enough value from the components, for example, to pay for the shipping, and that is a big, you know, big boost for the federal government.
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting service that you provide there. Another thing that, you know, I know that the way things has changed is, you know, I remember after 9/11, you know, there was a period where all of a sudden there were these, you know, the anthrax, you know, scares and what was going on in that regard. And, you know, over the years, how has the Postal Service sort of reacted to that security issue?
Well, you know, I think the whole country and the whole government is far more security conscious since 9/11. On the one hand, it seems like it's been a long time. On the other hand, it seems like only yesterday. Everyone probably remembers that the Postal Service lost some of our own in some anthrax events that went through our facility. So we developed the capability to actually scan every single piece of first-class mail for anthrax to ensure that they're safe to be processed and then delivered to, you know, our customers at the end of the line. We also have an ability to be a first responder, if you will, if one of our customers has a suspect substance that they're concerned with that might be hazardous. They can call the Postal Service. We have a toll-free number. That number is 877-876-2455. We can come out with our specialized teams who are subject matter experts in these hazardous substances and tell you in a matter of hours whether you've got a major problem or not. For example, is it baby powder or anthrax? And better, you're interrupted for a period of hours than a period of days or weeks. So we have built that expertise into our system nationwide.
And now, is that, you know, when people call that number, is it, can they just call it when they find, you know, whether it's, regardless whether it's something you've, that's been handled through the mail, or does it have to be related to a mail package, or they can just call generally?
Well, it's really tied back to mail and to packages. So if you were to receive mail, for example, in a federal site or a package and open it up and it looked like it was hazardous material, if you would call us, we can come in and clear that. It's not a clearing house, if you will, for suspicions of material, simply those tied to shipping and mailing products.
So... and my understanding is you're going to do a workshop on security at the expo as well?
Yeah. You know, we have the ability to run very secure sites. We are, you know, like our customers in the federal government, we are government buildings and government sites, so we're very keen on security. We have the Postal Service inspection services, and they can help our customers actually do a security audit on one of their sites. If you have a large processing center and you'd like them to come in and look it over and determine how you handle mail and how you handle packages, is it in a secure fashion? Are your processes secure? Is the site secure? We can help you, and there is no charge for that. We offer that to our customers.
That's, you know, that is another great service. Do you also, as well, with regard to... is that recycling program, does that also apply, you know, and you correct me if I'm wrong, to pharmaceuticals? Do you have a program with regard to that?
We're not there just yet. We have been in working on that program for a while. It is just not ready for prime time. That's a little more complicated, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure it actually is. And with regard, going back to your schedule contract and how that's going, you know, my understanding is that it looks like this year you've already, you know, almost sold just, I mean, in terms of revenue under that program and services provided to customer agencies, you're approaching all of, exceeding last year's figure already, you know, this fiscal year. It's close. It's about $50 million.
Actually, we have doubled our business. I guess one way to look at it is we have doubled our business in 6 months this year versus last year, and we expect to do that again in the second quarter. So in the second half of the year. It's been very good for us, and we think this is a very substantive market that we will capture our fair share given the opportunity to compete.
Well, where I'm leading to, Bill, is what's the next step? What are your next steps with regard to your federal campaign? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I think it's really a matter of reach. We've taken a group of dedicated resources. Part of them are strategic resources, really looking at the government department by department and trying to figure out which department has the greatest need for the type of services we bring. Then the second step is we have dedicated resources across the country dedicated to selling into the federal environment, who then approach these sites of the various agencies and try to share with them our message that we have highly competitive services that can save them money, that can help them on sustainability and ensure that the secure delivery of their message. So the next step is continue to expand our messaging, and that is done both, primarily through face-to-face, but then engaging in programs like the GSA Expo. But we will be throughout the country contacting the federal sites and sharing our message.
Well, Bill, right now I have to share a message. I got to do some ads. I'm going to pay for the show as well. So we do have to take a break. But when we return, we'll be talking more to Bill Doucette, head of federal sales for the United States Postal Service. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Hahn Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Hahn's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Hahn Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Hahn's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Hahn lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Vihon Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
More than 60% of the world's air traffic is guided by Lockheed Martin systems. To streamline air traffic control, reduce delays, and increase safety, Lockheed Martin has created a world-class data communications team. Our team is comprised of leading experts in air traffic management, telecommunications, and air-to-ground interoperability. Working in harmony with the FAA, we are the right team to orchestrate a symphony of flights from beginning to end. For more information, go to lockheedmartin.com/datacom.
The Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program, it's always a good time to apply. Long-term care is expensive and it's not covered by traditional types of insurance plans. You may need to rely on loved ones or pay for long-term care services out of savings or assets. Fortunately, the Federal Long-Term Care Insurance Program was designed to help protect against the high costs of care. Because premiums are based on your age at the time of application, this really is a good time to learn more. Visit LTCFEDS.com today.
Hey, Jamie, who sings that song? Whoa, piece of bread.
That can't possibly be a real song.
No, it is. We heard it on the car radio this morning.
Matt, we really need to get HD radio so you can hear song lyrics better. Actually, we should get a Kia Sorento with the UVO infotainment system and HD radio. This way you can hear all your corny lyrics with crystal clear digital sound quality, and I can listen to good music on all the extra FM HD2 and HD3 stations it offers. Now sing that song again to me.
Whoa.
Voice-activated UVO infotainment system with HD radio. Now available in the Kia Sorento.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud,
listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11 o'clock. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by Eileen Yarnoff from Booz Allen Hamilton and Charles DeSano from the Department of Veterans Affairs to talk about mobile security issues in the government.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering it. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
If you are facing advanced illness or the end of life of a loved one, peace of mind is in short supply. Fortunately, pain-free comfort care is available from the Washington Home and Community Hospices, a not-for-profit organization with a holistic team of doctors, nurses, caregivers, social workers, chaplains, and volunteers. The team comes to you in your home or wherever you call home in D.C., Montgomery, or Prince George's County. For your peace of mind, call them day or night for a complimentary consultation at 866-234-7742.
Those golf balls you slice into the water could stay there for hundreds of years, but a new ball made from an unlikely source could make your game greener. Most lobster shells get tossed in landfills, but David Nevant, an engineering professor at the University of Maine, found a way of getting them back in the water. Put them in golf balls.
The approach we took was to take the lobster shell and to grind it up into a powder and then bind that powder together with a biodegradable polymer and use that in the core.
That's coated with another eco-friendly material. Nevant says it's indistinguishable from a traditional ball and could be used, for example, on cruise ship driving ranges.
In a period of a week or 2 weeks or so, the entire ball breaks down and releases the lobster shell back into the ocean.
With some tweaking of the lobster core formula, Nevant thinks the ball's performance can be golf course ready, and then maybe you won't be quite as steamed when your ball strays into the water. More at nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Bill Doucette. Bill heads up the federal sector sales for the United States Postal Service. And Bill, you know, when we took a break, we're talking a little bit about your role in the federal marketplace. And I know one of the things that I found really interesting and unique is the role you play in helping agencies communicate with their constituents or their customers, a sort of that public service. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, you know, it's very interesting. We have a powerful mechanism to help agencies message their role and their benefits they bring to their constituencies across the American landscape, and that is we can put their message on the kitchen table of every American household. We worked with one very large agency. They had a very targeted group of constituents that they offered an extensive array of services to, and we helped craft a program which custom designed individual messages for each of their constituents down to the individual, and then delivered it right to the household. A very, very powerful tool for any federal agency.
And were they using that as a communication tool? And in turn, they were seeking, essentially feedback from their constituents to try to help them do a better job. Is that sort of like
it was a combination of not only seeking feedback, but also letting the constituent know exactly what services or what benefits they could derive from engaging with the agency. As you know, we have a lot of different agencies that serve a lot of different constituencies, and they offer a variety of benefits. But many folks, hard to believe today, but many folks don't realize what the federal government does have to offer them individually. And this agency was forward-looking enough to work with us in a program that on an individual basis, they were able to tell that person that here were the types of things that they could do for them. So it's pretty exciting for them, I think pretty exciting for us as well.
That is pretty powerful, the Postal Service, like you said, you're the only folks who can like put the message right on the kitchen table of literally every American citizen, as far as I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that it seems to me, you know, when you think about your schedule contract and your role in the marketplace is just whether you have run into misconceptions with regard to, you know, what the Postal Service, you know, can and can't do, or, you know, can they use you or what?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're relatively new to the space. Just the last few years that we were doing no business in the federal sector. And today we do a very large amount of business. But the challenge becomes people think because they have used the GSA contract to source shipping services, for example, and they have predominantly used two or three different players in that space, that they actually have to use those same players because they're not aware that they can use the Postal Service. Given our offerings under GSA, it's very highly competitive in terms of pricing and service, and people just don't know. So our biggest challenge becomes messaging ourselves, much like we help other agencies message. It's clearing up any misconception that every agency who operate under the GSA contract can utilize the U.S. Postal Service for shipping, and they should give us a very good look because we can save our customers an awful lot of money, and we are very simple to do business with.
Right. Well, I do business with you every day. I can tell you, you are simple to do business, which is a good thing. But, you know, one of the services, or when you talk about, you know, people using different contract vehicles, I think about people trying to figure out their spend and for purposes of strategically buying and that sort of thing. What do you do in that space? What do you have?
Okay. A couple of times I've mentioned business partners, and one of the things we do is we reach out to a variety of businesses that we believe have complementary services to the Postal Service, and we can integrate their offerings and our offerings together to bring the most value to our customers. One example is something we call PC Postage, and that's someone who's using a computer to generate their postage labels. We have partnered with two particular companies, both very, very capable companies, where the software can be installed on the system. The federal customer can download that postage, put it on the package, and out the door it goes. But the really valuable piece of that is not so much the simplicity of downloading the postage, it's the ability to track the spend. And they can get reports on a regular basis from our partners as to exactly who's spending what money and where. And that's a very powerful tool because it is, you know, the government's pretty large and it is a challenge very often to track things like that. But through our partners, we can deliver that to our customers.
Well, from a cost-effective and efficient government perspective and a sort of strategic sourcing perspective, the ability to provide that information to your customers, as you said, it's a powerful tool. It helps them better manage, you know, what they're doing and figuring out, you know, if there's some anomaly here where they're spending lots of money in one location versus another. That's the kind of thing that folks use it for?
Yeah, very much so. But it also provides really true transparency in costs. And for example, and they can get information from any shipper. But through this program, they know exactly where their costs are coming from. And it does help them identify what I call flags. You know, you notice someone is spending, you know, $5,000 a month over a series of agency sites, but here's one that's spending $25,000. Why is that? And it's a quick flag so they can get on it to make sure. Now, there may be a good reason. As I always say, peel back the onion. There's a story behind every number. But it gives you the ability to instantly see where you may or may not have a problem and you can better manage it. Also helps, obviously, with budgeting and things of that sort. So that, you know, we think that adds a lot of value. And the key is we were able to go partner with other businesses to bring these type of services to the federal customer.
So I'm pulling this all together. Now, you've talked about the ability to provide that cost information, transaction information. You have the security, you know, that the inspection of mail. You have the recycling piece and the green and your efficiency. You know, how are you, you know, when you go out and message and talk to agencies, it sounds like you got a really good story to tell, but there's also concern or, you know, uncertainty, let's say, about the Postal Service. Have you heard that? You know, when you're telling all these good things you do and the services provide, what are there questions about, you know, what they see in the headlines about the Postal Service?
You know, that's a fair question, Roger. And actually, I'm glad you brought it up. You know, we're like every agency in the government, we have challenges, and that is we have only so much money to spend to provide services. We have a very broad mandate. We are required by law to deliver to 150 million or so locations every day, 6 days a week. And that's a very costly enterprise. We have built our business to handle north of 200 billion pieces of mail and packages a year, and that volume is down substantially and peaked, I believe, around 2007. But we know how to run this business. We can run it more efficiently. We have developed plans to consolidate processing centers, for example, eliminate unnecessary centers, close select post offices, which is, you know, it's very, you know, concerning to many people. But at the end of the day, it really gets down to there are things we can do to take this business down to a size which reflects the volume of business that comes through it. Huge changes in the marketplace since only as recently as 5 years ago, the shift to electronic commerce. People are receiving bills and paying bills online, for example, rather than today where they would spend 45 cents on a stamp to mail a first-class letter. And believe it or not, that has dramatically reduced our first-class business, and that deprives us a huge amount of money that was coming in the doors. So as responsible folks and as an agency who lives on its own revenue, we're trying to take the business to a size that enables us to operate at a no cost to the taxpayer basis, which is our charter.
Right.
And we're working on doing that. Now, there are some legislative hurdles.
Bill, right there, I have a hurdle. We have a hurdle. We got to take a break right now. But when we return, we'll be talking more with Bill Doucette about the United States Postal Service, its role in the federal marketplace. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Disabled American Veterans is dedicated to one single purpose: building better lives for America's disabled veterans. May 18th through the 20th, in the company of the vintage B-25 Mitchell Bomber, DAV brings its message of support for veterans to the Joint Base Andrews Air Show. In its modern-day mission with DAV, the B-25 serves as a reminder of the sacrifices veterans make for freedom. Meet the DAV flight team with the B-25 at the Joint Base Andrews Air Show.
Here's Cindy Moran, Senior Director, DISA's Communications Division, on a recent Unified Communications Panel discussion sponsored by General Dynamics IT.
We tend to be a very risk-averse culture. Even though we engineer and we plan and we design, there's always somebody double-checking the homework to make sure that you've got it right because a commander wants to reach out and touch something. But I think the biggest challenge is cultural assurance. They need to understand culturally that wherever we put those switches, that they're still going
to
be there.
Connecting people to people anywhere, anytime, on any device. Not just an idea, but a demand of today's governments, businesses, and consumers. General Dynamics IT integrates voice, video, and data services to provide increased mission effectiveness. Secure communications is a basic tenet in healthcare, law enforcement, finance, and defense, and will continue to drive the future of our unified communications. Visit GDIT.com for more information. That's GDIT.com.
Are you looking for tips to improve performance, retain talent, and enable mission success? Join the discussion on employee engagement strategies with John Palguda, Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service, and David Dye, Director in the Federal Human Capital Practice at Deloitte. Tune in with host Jay Norris on Deloitte's Fed Central program Thursday, April 5th, and on April 19th at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children is Northern Virginia's only children's hospital, providing extra special care for our region's littlest patients. Each day, they help premature babies thrive, cure the tiniest of hearts, and beat childhood cancers. Help Inova heal our region's children. Join the Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children at the Star Kid 8K on April 22nd. Proceeds support Inova's pediatric heart programs. To learn more and register, go to inova.org/8K.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon family groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you could learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Join the Brain Trust of Federal Leaders this April 15th through 18th in Cambridge, Maryland for the Federal Senior Management Conference and feed off the thoughts, experiences, and ideas of your peers while tackling timely management issues being faced by government today. Presented by Fed Insider News, the Federal Senior Management Conference is the preeminent conference for federal senior managers. Presented for government, by government, and open only to government employees. Register now at fedsmc.com or call 202-237-0300.
Listen each week for Tech Tuesday on Federal News Radio. Every Tuesday, we zero in on how technology inspires innovation. Tuesday mornings at 11, it's Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy, the latest on products that help bring policy to life. Then Tuesday afternoons at 12:30, join Federal News Radio's Jason Miller for Ask the CIO. Hear from the top of the food chain on how your agency is using technology today. Tech Tuesday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio.
I would rather give an ostrich a pedicure than play this.
Your turn with Mike Causey, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. only on Federal News Radio. Check out Mike's column, The Federal Report, weekdays at federalnewsradio.com, or sign up to have Mike's daily column delivered directly to your email.
You know, they're probably going to find out in 20 years that carrying one of these in your wallet causes your buttocks to fall off.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Bill Doucette from the United States Postal Service. Bill heads up the federal sector sales for the Postal Service. And, you know, I'd be remiss, Bill, if I didn't let you give the telephone number for the U.S. Postal Service and the email address. So go at it.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to talk to us, because we certainly want to talk to you, you can reach us on this phone number here in Washington on 202-268-6300. And in case you're fumbling for a pen or pencil, I'm going to run that by you one more time. It's 202-268-6300. If you want to send us an email, we love to get emails from you. And that address is U.S. Postal Service, GOV Sales at USPS.gov. Quick repeat on that one. It's a little cumbersome. U.S. Postal Service, GOV Sales, S-A-L-E-S, at USPS.gov. So if you need us, you can call us, you can write us.
Well, Bill, as your market continues to grow, when we took our break last time, we were talking a little bit about some of the things you're doing to, you know, sort of, I guess, right-size the organization and address the challenges that, frankly, the entire federal government is facing in terms of the budget and that sort of thing. Did you want to have a couple finishing thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the key thing to understand, really two things. One is we do operationally understand what we need to right-size this business and to bring costs more in line with the revenue streams so we don't have any burden on the taxpayer. But the second thing is, you know, I'd like the not all customers, not just our federal customer, but our commercial customers and our residential customers to understand that the Postmaster General and Deputy Postmaster General, their staffs are working very closely on the Hill with the House of Representatives and the Senate to craft legislation that will enable us to maintain the highest quality of service at affordable rates for all customers and yet enable us to right-size our business and not be a burden on the taxpayer. So we know what we need to do and where we need to do, and we have the right people doing it.
Okay. Hey, Bill, now I have a couple questions of personal interest that I want to ask you about. And it's just, people, I think, take for granted, getting the mail and that sort of thing. And, first of all, when I send things by priority mail, I get these reports, tracking numbers and where things are. And how does that, in terms of its path to delivery to my intended, recipient, how does that work?
Well, it's actually one of the fundamentals of the business. If you're in the shipping business, you have to have a window for your customers to see what's happening with their package. When we pick up a priority mail package and it has a tracking barcode on it, we have a handheld scanner and we scan it. So we've captured the fact that we have picked it up. When the carrier gets back to the station, they will take that handheld scanner, put it in a holster, and upload that information. So every package they picked up that day, it indicated that not only was it picked up, but it is now accepted and in process. And that's probably one of the last times that a human is going to touch that package, because once it starts its processing, it goes through our systems. We're highly automated. And we have inline scanners. So as that package goes down a conveyor belt on one of our automated systems, the scanner picks it up and identifies where it is. And you take that all the way out to the end and really the last mile. We have a carrier who does pick it up and deliver it. And with another handheld scanner, we'll scan it as delivered. And when they return at the end of the day, they'll holster that scanner and upload it to our computer system. The average package will be scanned about 7 times. So you'll see when it was picked up, when it was in process, how it hit intermediate stops along the way, even to the point of saying it's out for delivery, so you'll know when it's being delivered. And most people know when their mail's delivered, and that's when it shows up. So yeah, it's pretty comprehensive.
And the thing that fascinates me, that's it doesn't, it touches people at the very beginning and at the very end, and then in between, it's all automated, it sounds like. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we have hundreds of processing centers, and as both mail and packages move through the system, it's highly automated, and it is the only way we can move something like 165 billion pieces of mail and packages a year through a system on an efficient basis. We've invested billions of dollars to make that happen, and it happens extremely well.
Yeah. Okay, now my next question, and this is really a personal question. Like, how do you ever read when I address envelopes with my handwriting and I put the zip code on there, how do you guys ever figure out where the package is actually going?
Well, actually, you're one of our bigger challenges, Roger. But this is quite remarkable. I've seen this live, and it's very, very impressive. As an addressed envelope comes through our automated system, if the system cannot read that address, it'll drop out of the automation line. A digital picture will be taken. It'll be transmitted out, I believe, to Oklahoma, A human will then decipher your handwriting, Roger, which is always a challenge.
Yes, absolutely.
and then that once they decipher that, they'll type in, you know, the information into the computer. A digital message gets sent back to that sorting system, that automating system, which will then spray a barcode on that envelope. And then every system point from that point forward in terms of the sorting and delivery of that will come off the barcode. And because we sort our letters in order in which the carrier actually walks the route and delivers, it'll come up in the right order and it'll be delivered. So it's a part human intervention there, but it's highly automated and dependent on technology.
Well, yeah, I wondered what those that sprayed on barcode was.
Well, that's where it comes from.
Okay. You know, and we only have a few minutes left, so I wanted to give you a chance to talk again, just sort of the big picture of what you guys are doing in the federal marketplace. It's remarkable the services that the Postal Service provides. You've just described a couple of features that I think folks clearly take for granted. I know I did. I don't understand how it all happened. You explained it very well. But, you know, it seems to me you guys, from what I understand, your message is sustainability, security, and savings. That's what you're talking about with your federal customers. Do you just want to run through those in our closing minutes?
Absolutely. And I'll try to make it quick. You know, sustainability, everyone in the federal government has to deal with Executive Order 13514. We can help you there. We can help you actually measure what you're recycling through our recycle program, which will be launched very shortly at no cost to you. So that's very key. And as I mentioned earlier, our shipping materials that we provide at no additional cost to the federal government are completely cradle-to-cradle certified, the only ones in the business. And that means whether it's the packaging material itself, the glue, the ink, everything that's on our packaging is recyclable. It was born that way. And you know, it ends up that way, so it is cradle to cradle.
No, Bill, it keeps getting recycled,
and
right?
It keeps getting recycled and keeps getting reused. You know, on the security side, as we mentioned, we're, you know, like every organization today, but particularly a government organization, we're highly secure in our sites, and we can help our customers. And if they are concerned about a site that they think may not be, whether it is the site or the processes within the site that is secure in the processing of mail or packages, we can help them do a site audit and point out for them ways that they can make it safer. Obviously, we do this routinely in all of our sites, of which there are, as you all know, tens of thousands of sites, to make sure that your package or your letter is secure. We also have the inspection services, which protect really end-to-end any package or letter that is in our hands to be delivered. So it's a very powerful message on security. And last but not least is really savings. Nobody can reach 150 million residential kitchen tables like we can every day at a very, very nominal cost. If you think about the cost of a stamp. And on the other hand, on the shipping side of the house, what you see is what you pay. It is a negotiated rate through the GSA contract, so it is, you know, essentially a most favored nation pricing for the federal government, and they can see that price and know that that price is indeed their cost. There's not a surcharge or an accessorial charge. Charges don't show up after the fact. If they have a rate in that contract, that's the rate they pay. So sustainability, security, and savings. Not only do we want business from the federal government, we're willing to earn it.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for joining me today. You know, one of the things I will mention, too, when in terms of that savings, I think, you know, one of the key things that you guys do, too, is that ability to track and report on expenses for your customers. That is a big deal for the federal government in terms of trying to figure out strategic sourcing and saving money for the taxpayer. So that's part of that puzzle, too. I think it's a great message to send.
It's absolutely part of the value that we bring to the federal government.
Well, today I want to thank Bill Doucette. He's head of federal sector sales for the United States Postal Service for joining me today. I'm Roger Waldron, and this is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition of Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.